live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University. It is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
Ah, that's right. Be a dog. What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this Tuesday, December 1, 2017. It's 12-12 today. How about that? As we wind down the days of Christmas. Christmas right around the corner. Happy holidays to you all. You are locked into WKAR's Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Boy, oh boy, do we have a lot of fun to get to on today's Current Sports. On today's show, we will chat about the big man, soon to be big man, on campus out in Ann Arbor as a certain quarterback transfer from Ole Miss, that's right, SEC country. He will be, well, I should say he's expected to be the quarterback behind center for Jim Harbaugh's University of Michigan football program. Now, of course, we still got a lot of months to wind down to the start of a new college football year. Heck, this college football season isn't even done for the Maize and Blue, seeing as though they will be competing on New Year's Day in the Outback Bowl. So still one more game on the slate of Jim Harbaugh's team. But I tell you what, this transfer has a lot of folks buzzing. And this certain individual has not even been cleared to play for next season just yet. So still, though, with him coming out on Twitter and saying, hey, I'm heading to Ann Arbor, a lot of people are buzzing. Find out who that player is in just a moment. We will have plenty of commentary concerning this SEC transfer to Jim Harbaugh's football program. We'll get to the Detroit Lions today as we evaluate the playoff picture now for the Detroit Lions, which are just coming off now a win on the road in Tampa against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We'll talk about the buzz-worthy story of the Ball brothers deciding to play professional basketball overseas. Many of you have thoughts concerning that story. I got a few as well. I want to clear the air when it comes to a few layers of the Ball brothers story. Of course, father LeVar Ball being the biggest catalyst in this whole thing. And then on the back end of the show, we will welcome to our airwaves, haven't had him on Current Sports in quite some time, but Alan Gant, former University of Michigan linebacker from 2012 to 2015. Gant will join us here on the show to give his thoughts on the big quarterback transfer from Ole Miss to the University of Michigan now. We'll also get an Outback Bowl preview from Gant. And there is a former player that had some very critical comments concerning Jim Harbaugh and the overall University of Michigan football program. So it should be an interesting chat with Alan on the back end of the show. You can be a part of Current Sports. And you know how to. Those who are tuning in regular here on our airwaves, you guys know you can pick up the phone and dial 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can go to Facebook.com/Current Sports where we have the live stream up and running. You can comment below the live stream, and I'll do my best to read your comments live here on our airwaves. Or you can even tweet us at Al Martin, WKAR is my Twitter handle, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. You know what's next, though. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. And we begin with the big news coming out of Ann Arbor. Former Ole Miss QB, Shea Patterson, he announced on Monday via Twitter that he plans to transfer to the University of Michigan. Patterson could potentially be eligible to play for the Wolverines come next fall because of the NCAA sanctions currently facing his old program. The NCAA said players heading into their senior season with the Rebels would be free to transfer without penalty when the governing body ruled to ban Ole Miss from postseason play next season. Patterson will actually be a junior come 2018, will have to apply for an individual waiver from the NCAA to avoid sitting out a year out in A-squared. Now, Patterson was born in Toledo, Ohio, an hour south of Michigan's campus. He and several of his former teammates actually visited Ann Arbor, the campus of University of Michigan, this past weekend. They were actually seen at the University of Michigan men's basketball game that went into overtime against UCLA. He, again, publicly announced his decision to transfer on Monday. What are your thoughts about this transfer? Do you think this is a game changer for Jim Harbaugh and his Michigan football program? What do you think? Call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Just why not? I'll read this comment as I push along our headliners here. We've got Ben already chiming in via our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. Ben says, the way I look at the situation with Michigan supposedly having a new quarterback is the fact that it's just another quarterback that is wanting to finish third or fourth place in the Big Ten East Division. Ben already taking shots at the move. So we'll dive into the specifics of this transfer, and you'll get my thoughts on whether or not this is a game changer for the Wolverines. All right, Michigan State freshman men's basketball player Jaren Jackson Jr. He was named the Big Ten Freshman Player of the Week for the second time this season on Monday. Jackson helped the Spartans to a pair of wins last week, a 62-52 road win at Rutgers on December 5th, and an 88-63 win over Southern Utah on Saturday at home. Michigan State ranked number 2 in the Associated Press and USA Today college coaches poll, has won 8 straight games, 9-1 overall, 2-0 in the Big Ten Conference. Jackson averaged 14 points per game, 8 boards, 6.5 blocks. That's amazing, right? And almost 2 steals at 1.5 in the wins last week. This is the second Freshman of the Week honor for Jackson, who also was named Big Ten Freshman Player of the Week on November 27th. You can catch the Michigan men's basketball program tonight. Michigan sits at 8-3, 0-2, away from the friendly confines of the Chrysler Center. They will take on Texas on ESPN2 at 9 p.m. Texas sits at 6-2 overall, 4-0 at home. Michigan State women's golf head coach Stacy Slobodnik-Stoll was officially inducted into the Women's Golf Coaches Association Hall of Fame on Sunday night in Las Vegas at Planet Hollywood Resort. In her 20 seasons at Michigan State, Slobodnik Stoll has led the Spartans to, count them, 18 NCAA regional appearances, 11 trips to the NCAA championships, and 6 Big Ten titles. In addition, Michigan State has won 36 tourneys during her tenure. The Spartans captured their 4th Big Ten title in 7 years in 2017 before going on to tie for the program's best ever finish at an NCAA regional, placing 3rd in Athens. All right, the Detroit Red Wings fell, and they returned to action on Monday after serving a 10-game suspension. Luke Witkowski, he returned to action on Monday after serving a 10-game suspension and brought with him a fighting spirit to the Detroit Red Wings. The Wings, for the first time in nearly 5 years, had 3 fighting majors, 2 by Witkowski, in a chippy physical game. Florida, however, delivered the final blow as Mike Matheson, he scored at 2:02 of overtime for a 2-1 dub at Little Caesars Arena. The Wings, 11-13-6, are 1-5-4 in their past 10 games. They are 0-5 in overtime this year, so that was a big win. Well, I should say another big loss in the extra session for the Winged Will. James Raymer, he made 34 saves for Florida. Jimmy Howard stopped 27 shots for Detroit. A turnover by Andreas Athanasiou in the offensive zone led to the sequence in which the winning goal was scored. All right, the Denver Nuggets and the Detroit Pistons will be in action tonight. Coach Stan Van Gundy admits his Pistons desperately need a confidence boost. Facing the injury-plagued Nuggets could provide the lift that they are seeking. Following a hot start, the Pistons have lost 6 straight games, but all but 2 of those defeats were by 5 points or fewer. Now, the margin of their latest loss was a little deceptive. They were within 4 points of the Eastern Conference leader Boston Celtics with less than 3 minutes remaining before falling 91-81 at home on Sunday. The skid has put the Pistons in really a mental funk. The Pistons sit at 14-12. They'll try to end the streak against the Nuggets tonight at LCA. Detroit swept last season's 2-game series against Denver. You can catch that game tonight at 7 p.m. LiAngelo and LaMelo Ball have reached an agreement to sign professional basketball deals with a Lithuanian club. Isaac, you want to take a stab at pronouncing that name? It's funny because I was watching the Six with Jamel Hill and Michael Smith yesterday, and they had a basketball analyst breaking down this move, and he couldn't even pronounce this basketball team. You want to take a stab at it? You see it there in the rundown.
Yeah, they're headed to Prenu Vitautas.
That may be right, dude. I think you may have nailed it.
I'm going to look it up. I want to check myself because that would go on my resume, number one spot up there.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, Prenu Vitautas. Is, I believe, what the club's name is, as Isaac just put. The team's coach and GM, Virginius Sisk, and Ball family agent Harrison Gaines told the news to ESPN's Jeff Goodman. Now, after ESPN reported on the seriousness of the talks between the Ball brothers and the European team on Monday afternoon, the two sides finalized the agreement hours later. The franchise is hoping the Ball brothers and father LeVar can be a publicity boon to the fledgling organization. They are already, there are already grave concerns concerning those familiar with both the teenage Americans and European team about whether the players can fit into the system of this said Lithuanian club. We will have more on the Ball brothers in just a moment. The Miami Dolphins wore their perfect season uniforms, and for at least one game in 2017, they really looked the part. Tom Brady was intercepted twice by Xavier Howard and held without a third down conversion on Monday night as the Miami Dolphins snapped the New England Patriots' 8-game win streak, a surprising 27-20 win. And lastly, a very troubling story. The NFL Network has suspended analysts Marshall Faulk, Heath Evans, and Ike Taylor after allegations of sexual harassment and assault. The trio of analysts, all former NFL players, were named in a lawsuit by former NFL Network employee Jamie Cantor, who worked as a wardrobe stylist with the company from 06 until her October 2016 dismissal, in which it was said that she stole items of clothing. Now, former NFL Network exec Eric Weinberger and former NFL Network analyst Donovan McNabb are also named in the lawsuit. McNabb currently works for ESPN as a radio host. Former NFL player Eric Davis, who works for ESPN LA Radio out in Los Angeles, is also named in the lawsuit. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's keep this train a-moving.
As a cactus, you're as charming as an eel, Mr. Grinch. You're a bad banana with a greasy black peel. You're a monster, Mr. Grinch. Your heart's an empty hole. Your brain full of spiders. You've got garlic in your soul, Mr. Grinch. I wouldn't touch you with a 39 and a half foot pole. You're a vile one, Mr. Grinch. You have.
I'm really upset at how Harbaugh's been at Michigan. 1-5 versus Michigan State and Ohio State. Only beat Michigan State once last year. The rest of the times, it's a loss. I think that he has not performed as well as I thought he should. Hasn't turned the program around. I mean, him and Brady Hoke are neck and neck with in records, or maybe a game or two off. But he's a guy who hasn't won anywhere. And I know that if he comes to New York, you can't be a Bill Belichick. You can't be quirky like
Rex Ryan. That's back where it's
you can't do that here, unless you win. And he hasn't won really anywhere, the big game anywhere, not high school, not college, not in the pros. Nowhere. And I bring in a coach like that, maybe he'll win here, but I think his act will wear thin. I think his act will wear thin in San Francisco. They went to three back-to-back. They went to back-to-back-to-back NFC championships, and they fire him the next year. There's something went wrong there. That's not what I think of Michigan. I don't think of Michigan as a 8-3 team and being excited because we have Michael Jordan shoes. I mean, I don't care about the shoes. I don't care about the going to Rome. I don't care about any of that stuff. We are a also-ran team in the Big Ten now, and it's embarrassing.
You're a triple-decker sauerkraut and toadstool sandwich with arsenic sauce.
Oh, that's classic, right? Mr. Grinch. One of my favorite holiday songs of the year. I'm not a Grinch. You guys know I love Christmas. I mean, that's why I've been rolling in Christmas intros throughout this entire month so far as we near the Christmas holiday. Again, happy holidays to all of you out there. And that's kind of a mix between the 1966 version of the Mr. Grinch song and also, and this took me by surprise when I was cutting up this intro this morning, the United States Navy Band. Can you turn this up just a little bit, Isaac? This is pretty hot, I must say. Yeah. That's good stuff. The United States Navy Band has an incredible rendition of the Mr. Grinch song. I caught that via YouTube. And I thought this song was fitting to play for our intro because those were some pretty harsh comments coming from an actual former player from the University of Michigan football program, that being Amani Toomer. Yes, that was Amani Toomer commenting on basically how he believes Jim Harbaugh has not gotten the job done as the head coach of the Wolverines. He is not happy with Michigan football, despite the fact that Harbaugh has led the team to a 28-10 record over the past 3 years as they now enter the Outback Bowl. Toomer is a former Michigan wide receiver, and he went on to the pros to play and have a pretty solid career with the New York Giants from 1996 to 2008. And he had a brief stint with the Kansas City Chiefs as well. But Toomer opened up. That was actually comments from an interview that he did over the weekend at the College Football Hall of Fame. And he was asked about Jim Harbaugh and the success, I should say, or lack thereof, that Harbaugh has had as the head man in charge out in A-squared. And he was asked whether or not Harbaugh would be a possible candidate to become the next head coach of the New York Giants. And then Toomer just kind of went off there. Now, again, these comments come before the news hit the wire yesterday that a pretty big name is coming to the state of Michigan, to the campus of the University of Michigan, to possibly play the role of savior for this maize and blue offense. It's getting quite the buzz on the net. Many of you commenting and weighing in on, as I stated, our very first headliner, former Ole Miss quarterback Shea Patterson, announcing yesterday on Twitter that he plans on transferring to the University of Michigan. And many believe that this is a game changer for Harbaugh's program, because Harbaugh has had some quarterback woes, to say the least, since he has been the head man in charge. But with this move now, and just to, you know, read a few tweets of reaction concerning this move, Paul Feinbaum of ESPN, he says, quote, "Jim Harbaugh just poached one of the SEC's best QBs in Shea Patterson. If the NCAA allows him to play in 2018, the Wolverines become," get this, "a title contender." Heavy comments from Paul Feinbaum. Bruce Feldman, quote, "Huge pickup for hashtag Michigan. Hashtag Ole Miss quarterback Shea Patterson commits to Michigan." Kirk Herbstreit of ESPN, "Wow, has been speculated about and now is official. Big time pickup for the University of Michigan football program and Jim Harbaugh. Shea is a dual threat that has 2 years of starting experience, not to mention he's joining a veteran team for 2018 and I could go on and on and on. There were many national pundits that were just salivating over the fact that Michigan was able to pull this off, that Jim Harbaugh was able to pull this off and snag Shea Patterson from Ole Miss. Now, there hasn't been word yet on whether Patterson will be eligible to play come next fall. We're still waiting that out. But if he is, hard to believe that he will not be the starting quarterback for this team come next year. He's going to be the favorite nonetheless. He'll be competing with redshirt freshman Brandon Peters, also true freshman Dylan McCaffrey in the mix there. It's been, you know, well documented that Wilton Spate has decided to transfer from the program. The Wolverines weren't good in multiple areas, though, this past year. We saw the defense teeter off a bit. after getting acclaimed as one of the best in the nation last season. We saw the defense, you know, just have some mental blunders from time to time. The safety position, that was a very concerning area that constantly gave up big plays. And, you know, and as far as the offense is concerned, it wasn't all on the quarterback. I must say, you know, you look at that position, though, and we saw Wilton Spate start the year behind center. Then we saw John O'Korn come in, and he wasn't that effective and efficient. And then we finally saw Brandon Peters come in and get some sort of consistency together for this offense. An offense, though, that took U of M fans on quite the roller coaster ride this season. Curious to see what happens come Outback Bowl time as the Wolverines will take will try to finish the year, I should say, on a high note. Now, you look at Peters, you know, he suffered a concussion near the end of the season. And in that final game against Ohio State, we saw O'Korn come in, and he wasn't great. And, you know, some of this blame also has to go on the shoulders of the receiving core as well. They weren't fantastic, and they would routinely drop balls left and right that would hit receivers between the number, right in their hands, and they would just drop them. You know, Michigan ranked 112th in the country in passing at 168 yards per game. Only seven FBS teams threw fewer touchdown passes this season. And more telling, get this, O'Korn and Peters combined to go 60 of 121 for 735 yards, one touchdown, and four interceptions in Michigan's four losses. That's pretty bad. Pretty, pretty bad. I don't care how good your defense plays. When you have your offense that unproductive, you're going to lose games. And you look at those numbers, most of that was O'Korn's work in the defense of Brandon Peters. Harbaugh is also going after the teammates of Patterson in safety, Deontay Anderson, and receiver Van Jefferson. Patterson committed to U of M after visiting campus this weekend as well. And you know what? You look at how the situation is playing out, and I feel like I'm getting the same vibe that that we saw when Jim Harbaugh was hired actually as the head coach of this U of M football program. I don't know if many of you are feeling that right now, but you know, just looking at the reaction, and you know, you look at that Michigan and UCLA men's basketball game at the Chrysler Center this past weekend. The student section were holding up signs trying to get Shea to commit to the program. They were ramped up and raucous. It worked. And many people, I believe, are looking at Patterson as the savior for this football program now. And you see hefty comments coming from national pundits like Kirk Herbstreit and Paul Feinbaum saying this now makes U of M a title contender. I don't know if I'll go that far just yet. You know, I spent a lot of my morning actually watching film of Patterson. I must admit, he is a pretty impressive quarterback. Pretty impressive. And if Michigan is going to enter the conversation of national relevance, which they entered a bit prematurely under Jim Harbaugh, just for the simple fact that Jim Harbaugh, the big name, is coaching this football program. If they're going to enter that conversation, there has to be production on the field, obviously, and it starts with dispelling the pretty dismal quarterback play that this program has gotten for the past few years. By contrast, you look at what's happening here in East Lansing. You look at what has happened in the last few years, just looking at the D'Antonio era in relation to quarterbacks. Michigan State has had a future NFL QB starting every season but one since 2007. Brian Hoyer, Kirk Cousins, Connor Cook. And hey, this Brian Lewerke kid is pretty darn good as well. Looks like he will and already can play at the next level. We've seen Brian make some pretty incredible and impressive throws throughout his young MSU football career. Ohio State. So you look at the two rivals for the University of Michigan. Ohio State has gone from Terrell Pryor to Braxton Miller to JT Barrett. Three pretty impressive quarterbacks. And heck, why not? Let's throw Cardale Jones into that mix as well. Ohio State and Michigan State, for the past 10 years, have had very good quarterback play. That is something that cannot be said for that team down the road in the maize and blue. And heck, we even saw Dwayne Haskins come in against Michigan in the final regular season game of the year. And he made necessary plays to win when he took over for JT Barrett, who went down with a knee injury. So you look at Shea Patterson. Again, I like what I see on film. He's got a great arm. He's got great instincts in the pocket. He can burn you with his feet. I mean, we're talking about a five-star quarterback coming out of high school. Now, Patterson is recovering from a right knee injury that cost him the final month of last season. Should be ready to compete come 2018. However, again, we're just still waiting on the NCAA's ruling on whether or not Patterson will be eligible. In seven games, Patterson passed for 2,259 yards, 17 TDs, 9 interceptions. And again, the sophomore was one of the top recruits in the 2016 class. Now, Ole Miss was hit with NCAA sanctions 2 weeks ago. That included a bowl ban next season. The NCAA said Mississippi's seniors could transfer without sitting out next year, as is usually required. Patterson does not qualify for that because he's not a senior. But again, he's going to petition to play immediately come next season. Ole Miss said it had granted Patterson, who's from Toledo, Ohio, permission to contact Michigan. And, you know, you look at how things went down here. Michigan did not immediately respond to a request for confirmation, and realistically, Patterson could change his mind before signing a scholarship agreement. I'm just saying here. But, again, the official Michigan football Twitter account did retweet Patterson's announcement. He's coming to Ann Arbor. And I like this fit for the maize and blue. But I feel like Michigan fans are getting just a bit ahead of themselves. A bit too ecstatic. Living in the moment. Is this a big get? Is this a great get for Jim Harbaugh in the program? Without a doubt. Great transfer quarterback here. But I can't think, but I can't help but think about when we were talking about John O'Korn, you know, transferring from Houston. Now, with that move, there wasn't as much hoopla as in this move with Patterson and Ole Miss. But I just want to remind folks that there are more than just the quarterback on the football field, all right? I like his scrambling ability, though. That will come in handy, especially if, you know, Michigan's offensive line looks anything familiar from what we saw this past college football year. But the fact is, when you hear comments from individuals, especially an ex-Michigan receiver in Amani Toomer ripping Jim Harbaugh for his mediocrity, the time is now. The leash has become very, very short, and it's a win-now mentality for this team. in the past 10 years, 2-8 against Michigan State, 1-9 against the Buckeyes. The past 10 years, and Harbaugh, as has been well documented, he's 1-5 against those two rivals in Michigan State and Ohio State. What do you think about the move? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Also join us via social media at facebook.com/currentsports. Leave us a comment there. There's a few comments already rolling in and have been rolling in throughout the hour, and you can even tweet us at Al Martin. WKAR is my Twitter handle, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. Isaac Constance, you have one more day left behind the glass tomorrow, as our dear friend and caller Austin noted last week. Tomorrow will be Isaac Day here on Current Sports as we will be sending you off on a farewell. I can't believe that we're only one day away now. You have less than 2 hours left here on Current Sports. But wow. I want to get your thoughts, man, on this move. I believe it's a, you heard what I said. I believe it's a solid move for Michigan. But let's not get ahead of ourselves here. There were many problems wrong with this Michigan football program, other than just the quarterback position here. There was dismal play that came from the Michigan secondary. The offensive line, as I noted, didn't give whatever quarterback was behind center for the Maize and Blue any kind of protection. Receivers drop passes routinely. What do you think about this move?
Well, I was looking through the roster today, and I noticed, dang, there is still a lot of seniors on this team. Yeah, you talk about right. A team that lost just about all of their starters. I believe it was something like 17 in the offense and defense heading into this year. They're going to lose a lot again. And that is a real sore spot when you look at Jim Harbaugh's team, because they've always struggled to find consistency. Despite the top recruiting classes, it's a lot easier if you're playing a position you're familiar with, with a guy that you're familiar with right next to you, especially when it comes to the offensive line. Now, you mentioned that Shea Patterson's style, mm-hmm. fortunately for Michigan, is well-suited and well-equipped to handle an offensive line that might struggle at times like it did this year. Not only is he a fast guy on the field, but he's got a real fast release point. If you watch how he throws the ball,
oh, he does.
He
yeah.
really gets it and then gets it out as quickly as you can snap your fingers, which is certainly a weapon and one that I think Michigan football will try to cater to. But this isn't the answer. I think we've seen over time that Michigan's had some pretty impressive quarterbacks, and it hasn't always worked out. Denard Robinson was a good player. Was he a great thrower? No. But for a few games,
he was an athlete.
But for a few games, he looked like a Heisman candidate, and that's not an overstatement. Mm-hmm. He was in that conversation. And the thing is, he failed for the same reason why many great quarterbacks fail: the lack of an offensive line, that mm-hmm. lack of offensive structure, whatever it might be. But with Michigan losing so much, it's going to take a lot more than Shea Patterson for me to say this makes them the favorites in the Big Ten. Even in the division, I still like Ohio State for that spot.
Yeah, so, it's more than one player. Again, I still like Ohio State in the East as well. And you look at Denard Robinson, though. I mean, yeah, he was rolling for a little bit, you know, when he was a quarterback mm-hmm. at U of M. I mean, heck, I was at that game when Denard led the team down the field against the Spartans back in 2012, and they beat him on a final, you know, clock winding down field goal. Mm-hmm. So, but that's where it starts right now. And it's a bit surprising that Harbaugh has had this kind of, you know, that he struggled in this conversation, because he's known, he came to Michigan as, you know, the quarterback whisperer, right?
It is, yep.
You know, this is a guy that transformed, you know, Colin Kaepernick into a pretty good quarterback when he was with San Francisco, you know?
Well, and Stanford was QB Academy 101.
Right, exactly. So that's why it's so surprising that this is what Harbaugh does, yet he has not gotten the job done and been able to, you know, help quarterbacks reach their said potential when they've come to Ann Arbor. So we'll see what happens. Again, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. In just a moment, we will welcome to the show Alan Gant, former University of Michigan linebacker from 2012 to 2015. Alan will join us here on the show to give his thoughts on the big Shea Patterson move, and he'll also give us his thoughts on, of course, the Outback Bowl. That and so much more. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we'll briefly talk about the playoff chances for the Detroit Lions and a small segment concerning the Ball Brothers agreeing to play overseas out in Lithuania. That and more. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Oh, the Detroit Lions got out of the doghouse, at least temporarily, with the win over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this past Sunday in a really just ugly game. That was really tough to watch. Multiple turnovers by both teams in that game. I will say, though, as I noted on yesterday's Current Sports, Matthew Stafford was pretty impressive considering the fact that this dude was out there with a not 100% healthy throwing hand, seeing as though his hand was stepped on the week prior to when the Lions fell to the Baltimore Ravens. And get this, I think a testament to, you know, with the exception of the interceptions. I tell you what, when Matthew Stafford looked good, he looked really good against the Buccaneers. But when he looked bad, he looked really bad, if you know what I mean. Because some of those INTs were just like, what are you doing? What are you looking at, right? Talk about a roller coaster ride, right? But, you know, Matthew Stafford, get this stat. Now, it didn't hit me until after the game. I read this. You know, Stafford was protected really well in that game against Tampa Bay. For the first time in over 2 years, Matthew Stafford finished a game without getting sacked. In the previous 35 games, Stafford had been sacked a total of 98 times, including one in every single one of those 35 games. For the first time since week 10 of the 2015 season against the Packers on Thanksgiving Day, Stafford's jersey was kept clean. That's amazing. And while the Bucs entered the game with a league-low 17 sacks, the Lions managed to keep them at bay for a whopping 44 Matthew Stafford dropbacks. Pretty amazing stuff. But when you evaluate this game, I mean, gosh, the Lions, only the Lions. You know, only the Lions do stuff like this. You know, you give the Lions an easy win, and they will do everything in their power to make it close. All right, they'll make it, you know, 23-21 when it should just be a blowout, you know, 50-10. When you look at all of the turnovers that happened in that game, I couldn't believe it. I mean, you force 5 turnovers and you only win by what, like 3 points? You got to win by more than 3 points if you force 5 turnovers. I just don't get it. And sometimes I'm looking at the offense and the play calling is just so predictable. So predictable. You know, handoffs on long downs. You know, these weird pitch plays that they throw out. I don't get it. You know, Eric Ebron, you know, he was pretty productive in that game. Probably the best game of his career. He had 10 receptions for 94 yards. He was pretty much everywhere all day. However, he had his moments. He had his moments. You know, he suffered the first fumble of his career. You know, there was one pass where it was right there in his hands, and he just drops it. And I tell you what, there was a pretty nice fan base out in Tampa for the Lions as well, because you could hear a few boos. When Ebron had the drop and the fumble, you could hear a few boos coming from the Tampa Bay stands. Theo Riddick looked pretty solid on Sunday. Pretty solid. You know, the streak continues, though. The Teon Green experiment, I kind of praised Teon Green last week, you know, for his production in such a short amount of time. But the Teon Green experiment, it doesn't look like it's going to work right now. He had just 15 yards on 5 carries. Theo Riddick, though, he was the most productive out of the running back core. But I can't get a good read on this team right now. You know, 3 weeks left. The Lions statistically stay in the hunt for a possible wild card berth. Some weird things are happening across the league right now. The Philadelphia Eagles are going to be without Carson Wentz as their starting quarterback. I mean, Wentz was having an MVP-type year and then tears his ACL. That was so tough to watch. And Carson Wentz is so fun to watch. And now Wentz is going to have to deal with this ACL injury and recover in hopes of, you know, possibly appearing next season at some point. Nick Foles will now take over at quarterback for the Eagles, which means the top two teams in the NFC, Philadelphia and the Minnesota Vikings, are now starting Foles and Case Keenum at football's most important position. How about that? You can't make this stuff up, right? You know, and that's in a conference that has players such as Russell Wilson, Drew Brees, Matt Ryan, Aaron Rodgers. He's going to make a return very soon here. Brent Huntley with the big win this past Sunday. But right now, the Lions are still in the hunt. The Packers, winners of 2 straight games in overtime, though. The Dallas Cowboys, one of 3 7-6 teams in conference, along with the Lions and Packers, a week away from welcoming Ezekiel Elliott, which I'm pretty happy about. But there are so many moving parts here. You know, the current NFC division leaders are the Vikings, the Eagles, the Rams, and Isaac Saints. The current NFC wild card holders are the Carolina Panthers and the Atlanta Falcons. The remaining games for the Panthers will be against the Green Bay Packers at home, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at home, and then at the Atlanta Falcons. Big game because, again, the Panthers and the Falcons, those are the wild card contenders right now. As far as the Falcons are concerned, they will take on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on the road come this weekend. Then they will play your New Orleans Saints, Isaac, on the road. Your Saints trying to get some revenge after what happened, 2 weeks ago now? Or was that last week?
Last week.
And then the Falcons, of course, as I noted, will play the Panthers. The Seattle Seahawks also in this mix. They'll take on the Rams. Then they will play my Cowboys and the Cardinals. The Packers have the Panthers, Vikings, and, of course, the Lions at the end of the year. The Cowboys, my Cowboys, will be at Oakland. Then they have Seattle at home and then at the Eagles. And the Lions will play the Chicago Bears, which came out with a surprising win this past weekend. And then we'll be at Cincinnati. And then we'll play the Packers to end the season. So, going to be very interesting to see what happens these next 3 weeks. It is do or die for the Detroit Lions sitting at 7-6 if they want a wild card berth. Of course, they're going to need the help of a few other teams right now holding down those spots, and the Panthers and the Falcons hoping that they fall. So I know that many Detroit Lions fans out there, Isaac, will be, of course, rooting for your Saints in about 2 weeks. So,
thank you.
Interesting race. Interesting race.
It is. And thing is, when you look at the Lions, what's sad is they're 7-6, and they're a team that, you know what, if you're the Bears, if you're the Buccaneers, if you're the Bengals, you say, I want to play them right now. Because there's nothing new that was exposed against the Buccaneers, but it was confirmed that the middle of this defense is as weak as pie. It really is. You can just dive right through it whenever you want.
And I tell you what, Quandre Diggs and Darius Slay made some big plays in that game.
But even so, on the edges. When you go in the middle, it's so ugly. And the thing is, too, how do you have a turnover advantage? How do you force 5 turnovers and then have a 24-21 game?
Only the Lions,
like you said.
Only the Detroit Lions. I think this team is cursed, man. I really do. It just makes no sense to me. All right, let's get to our guest for today's current sports. We have about 10 minutes left in the show, and I'm curious to get his thoughts on the leading topic of today's current sports, that concerning the transfer, the quarterback transfer of Shea Patterson from Ole Miss now to the University of Michigan. Right now we have Alan Gant on line one, former University of Michigan linebacker from 2012 to 2015. Alan, how you doing, my man?
Hey, how you doing, man?
Always good chatting with you. Just, you know, due to time here, I'm going to dive right into it. I just want to get your initial thoughts, your reaction to Jim Harbaugh able to pull off this transfer and snag Shea Patterson from Ole Miss. How big of a game changer is this?
Oh, absolutely. That was definitely a big game changer. I mean, you got a very talented kid coming out of Ole Miss. To be completely honest, Al, I really didn't know too much about him. I mean, I heard about him. I never really watched that many of his games. So I had to, you know, do some research on my end as well as soon as I heard his name floating around over the past couple of weeks and after watching highlights of him. And I'm pretty excited as a Wolverine.
When you do watch his highlights, because I was like you, Alan. I mean, this morning I felt like I was joking with Isaac before the show. I felt like John Gruden watching film of Shea Patterson in my office today. And I really like what he can do as a dual threat quarterback. What impresses you when you do watch film of him?
Yeah, I mean, like you mentioned, him being a dual threat quarterback. I mean, he gives the defenses a lot to think about, not just by shutting him down in the run game. He also throws the ball really well. I think that coming from the type of offense that he came from at Ole Miss, it would definitely be a challenge just in case, you know, Coach Harbaugh does decide to stick with his normal pro-style offense. But I think overall, I mean, the kid could play, man. I'm very excited as a Wolverine fan and a former Wolverine to have him in Ann Arbor.
You know, I read the comments of a few national talking heads and guys like Paul Feinbaum and Kirk Herbstreit. Feinbaum going as far as to say this is a move that makes the University of Michigan football program a title contender. Do you echo those thoughts? And what other pieces must improve in order for the Maize and Blue to be in the national title conversation next season?
Yeah, well, first and foremost, I mean, the team has about 90% of the guys coming back next year, so that's a definite plus for the team in 2018. As far as Shea coming as quarterback, I mean, I definitely do see this as a title contender, definitely making the playoffs. But a good controversy that Coach Harbaugh has is now he has two of his quarterbacks that he recruited with McCaffrey and Brandon Peters. Coming back next year, and then obviously you add in Shea Patterson. So it's a lot of competition that's going to be there, a lot of good talent, and I definitely think that Shea just, you know, helped Michigan out even more to get over that hump as far as, you know, consistently beating their rivals like Michigan State and Ohio State and finally get the opportunity to play for a Big Ten title as well as possibly making it to a playoff and a national title. But like I always say, it's great to think about the future, but obviously you got to take it day by day, step by step. Shea's still have to come into the process and learn a new system. So I'm very excited for what the potential that the Wolverines have next year, and I really can't wait.
And you being a defensive guy, Alan, I mean, when you watch this team Saturday after Saturday, the defense was very highly acclaimed to start the year, and you know I was even drooling watching that defense against Florida, and I said to myself, wow, they are really fast. And they cover so much space. We did see the defense kind of teeter off from that perception as, you know, as the weeks went by. But you being a defensive guy, a former linebacker for this program, what say you of the Michigan D?
Just like you mentioned earlier, how fast they are. I mean, this defense is unbelievable. I mean, we had some great defense in the past, even when I played. And I think even back when I played, we always still finished within the top five, if not the top 10 best defense in the country. But something about this defense this year felt like they, playing with a chip on their shoulder, felt like they had a lot to prove coming into the year, knowing that there wasn't much experience on the defensive side, only returning, I think, probably two starters. So I think that the way this defense has played week in and week out has been very impressive. Now, like you did say, has worn down a little bit towards the end of the year, but that also comes with being on the field constantly over and over and over again. But I think that as the years to come, especially looking forward to next year, and even possibly looking at this bowl game, I think that we're really going to see Coach Don Brown put the heat on the Gamecocks, and I think that the offense is going to complement the defense really well for that bowl game, too.
Looking at this bowl game now for Michigan against South Carolina, of course, on New Year's Day in the Outback Bowl in Florida, sunny Florida. Alan, how do you preview this matchup, and how can this game act as a springboard for this program next season?
I think it's going to be a good starting point for the team moving forward. I think that obviously I believe that we're going to come out with a win, but I think that we're going to have a really good game plan for South Carolina. South Carolina has played some decent ball this year, but I just think that we're a little bit overmatched for them. I think we play neck and neck with them as far as speed-wise. I mean, we got a lot of guys, especially on the defensive side of the ball, with speed. We got Brandon Pierce coming back, a quarterback play. I think this is going to be a pretty good game for the Wolverines entering 2018.
What did you make of the whole Twitter back and forth between Michigan State head coach Mark D'Antonio and Jim Harbaugh? I must say I was a bit shocked that Harbaugh did respond, but when looking at the comment that Mark had in the press conference, I was not surprised. What did you make of that whole story?
Yeah, so I mean, knowing my coach, it doesn't surprise me that he said what he said on Twitter. But if you look from the outside in, I think that this just makes, you know, sports rivalries even better than what they are. I mean, the trash talk, at the end of the day, you know, teams do respect one another, but I think it's fun seeing the trash talk, and not just necessarily for the players, but the coaches as well. Makes the rivalry even more fun.
Certainly, it definitely does. And you know, did you get a chance to check out the comments from Amani Toomer, former University of Michigan wide receiver, as it pertains to Jim Harbaugh? He was very critical of Jim Harbaugh not having the kind of success that many thought he was going to have after 3 years as the head man in charge. What do you make of those comments?
Yeah, so this is the way I kind of look at it. With Coach Harbaugh, he was here for 3 years, has been there for 3 years, and has not fully had his guys there. I mean, think about it. He played or coached, with Coach Hoke's recruits. And even on top of that, he was also able to get these guys over the hump as far as making them NFL players, NFL prospects. So I think on that standpoint, Coach has done a phenomenal job with that. Now, as far as, you know, winning the big games, yeah, we've only beaten Michigan State once. Haven't been Ohio State, but I think that as the years go on, especially next year, this is going to be the year where, I mean, there's no excuses.
Yeah.
He has all his guys, he has all his workhorses. I can understand the frustration for former Michigan players and even fans. I mean, you know, definitely. If you're looking at Michigan, we think of, you know, the powerhouse.
I got to cut you off because you only got 10 seconds left, but thank you so much for that analysis. I have to agree with you, my man. We'll see you tomorrow, folks. Be easy, people.